Welcome. You're listening to Ireland Life with myself, David Kinley, a series of programmes entitled New World, Old Ways, where we discuss the history, culture, folklore, superstitions and music of the Manx emigrees to the New World, the USA and in particular the Appalachian Mountains. In today's episode, I talk to Izzy and her experience on transatlantic emigration. And welcome to New World, Old Ways. And that was quite an introduction. And I could do with explaining why I played that music. Welcome to the show, to Izzy. Hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Very well, thank you very much. I can tell from your accent, you may be from further afield.
Oh yes, just a tad.
Tell me where you're from, Izzy.
So I have come over here from the great California, the very sunny California, and traded my life for California life for the Isle of Man.
How did that all happen?
Well, it's a very long story, David. But you know, we go back 22 minutes. It's quite a long time. It is quite a long story. And to be fair, it starts from the very beginning. But my mom is Manx and she moved to America when she was 21. She decided she wanted to get off the rock, you know, go explore and see something different for once. And so she moved, met my dad, you know, one thing led to another, had me in California, and then she missed home. So she came back and I followed her essentially. But there were quite a few steps along the way.
There always is, because this is basically emigration, which I've been talking about for 7 programmes now. However, all I've been doing is going across the Atlantic, onto the eastern seaboard. I've made my way through East Virginia, sometimes down the Erie Canal, but always end up in Ohio. And here I am, with as far away from the eastern seaboard you can really get. We're in California.
Indeed, indeed. Yes, California, sunny California. So, it still is my favorite state in the USA and probably the only state that I would ever consider going back to.
Do you think that's a possibility? Are you quite happy here?
I am very happy here, David. I don't think I'm going to go back.
So, growing up in your infancy with your mum, I believe you used to visit here quite often?
I did, yes. Yeah. So I used to come over 6 to 8 weeks at a time. And my mum used to pull me out of school, actually, to come visit family. So I kind of grew up running around the glens. And, you know, I said in one of my previous videos that I grew up running around the places that would then become familiar to me now, which is really exciting. So I think it's a full circle moment. A full circle moment.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And in those glorious days of childhood, playing around all the glens and stuff like this, did you ever see the little people, the Munjavega? Were they there?
You know
and
what?
Most importantly, do you believe in them?
I very much believe in them. And my family is very superstitious, very, very superstitious, very Manx, very superstitious. And I absolutely love the folklore and fables that they have told me growing up. So I do definitely believe in the Munjavega. But I think I always secretly hoped I'd see them around.
Likewise.
And I think I secretly hoped that they would be bobbing around all over the place on a magical little island like the Isle of Man. And no, I never saw any, sadly. But I think if you believe hard enough, you know, as a child, you can really get through a lot of things and think that the fairies do a lot for you.
Yeah. So with your journey to the Isle of Man, of course, it's not just a straightforward decision of getting on an aeroplane. And look, you know, let's break some fantasies here about what emigration is all about. There must have been a lot of heartstrings being pulled on in various. You've got friends there, you've got friends here, but You had to leave things behind, didn't you?
Indeed, yeah. Yeah, no, I definitely did have to leave things behind. And sometimes I feel like you need to close a chapter in order to open a new one. And that was kind of what happened here on the Isle of Man, is that I closed the chapter of my life in California and opened the new one over here. And there were lots of heartstrings pulled. I'm sure, you know, a lot of listeners have seen my video on TikTok and Instagram and Facebook. And it's interesting because there was a lot of assumption that I made the choice to be in pain a lot of times because, you know, I've had comments and things that were really lovely and supportive and great, but also comments that were more not supportive and not so great. And that's okay because that was based off of a 1 minute story that they didn't have the full information of truly what choices I was faced with.
Sure. Of course, one of the things, much like our Manx emigres, is that when they arrive in their new land, where they are going to live, you have to involve with the society. Mm-hmm. And of course, with that, you evolve yourself, don't you?
You do, yeah, absolutely.
And this
you
is
do.
An essential part and an unavoidable part of emigration.
It is,
and
yeah.
It's happened for centuries, isn't it?
It has, yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because it's like, I think in recent time frames, there has been this negative sort of connotation associated with immigration and kind of this idea that immigration is bad and that this, that, and the other. But realistically, the viewpoint of this is relatively new. The hatred's relatively new. And I do understand the viewpoints of some people and, you know, what they're saying and that they want, you know, safer borders and whatnot. And I think that's really important. But I also think it's really important to distinguish the difference between legal immigration and illegal immigration, but also the difficulties in both.
I understand totally. Absolutely. Well, let's just talk about culture, because culture is the most beautiful subject. What I love about culture is particularly language, music and food.
I love culture, yes. No, I agree completely. And, you know, I love listening to different music from different cultures. So
likewise.
I'm very, I have a wide, wide genre list of
eclectic.
Listening. Yes, very eclectic. Yes, yeah, that's a great word for it.
And to pull this program back into its original format, do you like Appalachian mountain music at all? Because you live so far away from there, I think you may have flown over it to get here, but that's about it.
To be fair, you know what? I've never been there either. And I do really like Appalachia and I like hearing about Appalachia, but I'm not actually like interested in visiting Appalachia. So I think in terms of Appalachian folk music, I can get behind it. I could get down with some Appalachian folk music. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
I think it depends on obviously the song and how it sounds, but I'm not averse to Appalachian folk music.
Yeah, well, what pulls me to it is the fact that in fact it does sound very familiar.
Yes,
coming from the British
yes.
Isles and the middle of the Irish Sea.
There's a lot of
Celtic influence.
Yeah.
And the folklore is very, very similar. However, in Manx folklore, there's a lot of nice things, such as the fenodry.
Mm-hmm.
However, in Appalachian folklore, everything's out to get you, it seems. And I think that yeah. may be their... The way that they've visited the way they've come up with that that country and
yeah.
how they adapt to it.
I think I did a video on this, but there was an interesting origin, but I can't even remember if it was the Waternikison. And the Waternikis over here on the Isle of Man. And I think that, you know, obviously that was a terrifying story in a way, is that
Indeed.
You get dragged in and drowned and you're never to be found again. But I think a lot of these folklores and fables stem from fears and warnings from people and mothers and stuff that don't want their children to go and play by the pond and potentially drown. So, you know, they've created a fictional creature they've basically created something to install fear in their children to avoid doing something.
Okay, of course.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that's where a lot of the Appalachian folklore comes from as well, is a warning to their children or a warning, don't do this because of that.
Of course, America has a Bigfoot. We have a Bigane, of course. Does a Bigfoot exist in California folklore at all?
I mean, I think Bigfoots exist everywhere in America, or supposedly they exist everywhere. I can't say I've ever seen a Bigfoot.
Yeah.
No idea, no idea. But I think, yeah, Sasquatches and Bigfoots.
I think we won't ever see a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or a Bigane, because as we established in Programme 2 and the folklore, they can inhabit another dimension. So remember that, listeners.
I did find that quite interesting, yes.
We have established that.
Yes, they might just be hanging out in another dimension.
So to go back to our Manx emigres, I just want to read this out. This is from a diary in Ohio in about 1842 from a Mrs. Kelly, who's from a Jerby family. And this is how she described the Americans in her diary in 1842. How they rush around, these Americans, afraid they will die before they finish what they have begun. They try to save time, but what do they do with that time when they have saved it? That's a bit of a tread allure. I don't think tread allure has actually been incorporated into the culture of the United States of America, has it?
No. And actually, you know what? I was just talking to somebody about this recently, is the hustle culture of California specifically, but the hustle culture of America in general. It's like we just hustle until we die. So we don't have off switches. And it took me quite some time to learn to slow down in America. And it's just quite interesting that moving over here has really sort of chilled me out, but I've never actually lost that feeling of needing to constantly be doing something and constantly working and constantly, you know, grinding.
That's interesting. Mm. Interesting. When it comes to education in the United States and your upbringing in the United States, what did they teach you about American history? I'll just like ask this because the history that we've learned over on this side of the Atlantic isn't quite matching up to the real story.
No, it's a bit romanticized. You know what? I actually have the opposite opinion. I think that America takes things out of history books and takes things out of teaching history in fear of making themselves look bad. Because America has a very long, very gruesome, very horrible history. And I will tell people now that I am quite unpatriotic when it comes to the USA.
That's interesting.
I am. And I think that we could be better. And I'm disappointed in my country.
Well, let's just go back to California, dear old California, the 31st state of the United States, only the 31st in 1850.
I like how you know that, though, 31st state. That's cool. Yeah, great. You've definitely done your research.
So that's only 1850. And in 1869, we get the Transcontinental Railroad, where everything has changed, because before that, they were doing the wagon trail.
Oh, yes.
I have no diaries at all from the wagon trail for anyone from the Isle of Man, unfortunately.
Really?
No, they seem to have just stayed in Ohio. And who can blame them? Because they've got their little areas there. And they're still speaking Manx into the 20th century.
That's amazing.
Isn't that extraordinary?
Yeah, that is amazing.
There was a letter written in 1920 to the Ramsey newspaper, completely in Manx.
Wow.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. That's amazing.
I think they just stayed there. Yeah. This'll do.
It's quite interesting, though, that they have, you know, brought Manx to the USA, but then it was slowly becoming a dying language here.
Yeah.
So what I wonder where that disconnect is obviously, because it has been brought now back since obviously being a dead language, but it was never technically a dead language,
no,
was it?
Was
because
not.
People were across speaking Manx.
Indeed. So emigration, it isn't all airplanes and fun. There's things that you're moving to, but there's a lot of things you're leaving behind as well. And just to go back to the Oregon Trail, as I say, I don't have any Manx connections with it. But this is really what it's like. This is from a diary from the 1852. And would you like to read that? Because I think it would be beautiful.
God, I'll try. I'll try and read it.
In your accent.
As we were leaving home and friends perhaps forever, our feelings were somewhat unpleasant during the day, and our young friends and associates manifested a similar feeling when the hour for us start had arrived. We bade them what we then thought a final farewell, and with heavy hearts proceeded upon our almost endless journey, casting as we went a last lingering glance upon our old and much beloved friends and young associates, and also over the beautiful little town in which we had spent many a pleasant hour. As we went, the wind seemed to repeat on the lonesome sound, "Farewell, farewell, farewell forever."
That's poignant.
Very much does hit home, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it? Yeah,
it does.
So as I say, it's not all fun. It's about family. It's about separation. These people are missing already what they had, and they don't know what they're going into. Mm. So always bear that in mind with anyone who says they're an emigree. They've got a story behind them.
They do, yeah. And this is what I was saying in my videos, is that I think a lot of times people forget that behind every application and behind every immigrant, there is a family, there's a story, there's something that they wanted by being here.
Much like the majority of all the emigrees who went to the New World, they went there for different reasons, some in abject poverty, but other people were actually going to make a lot of money. Mm-hmm. So it's a whole diaspora of society.
People and everything, and
society, yeah. So I'm going to try and pull this program back into Appalachia, and let's listen to some Appalachian folk music.
Yes! Okay, let's listen to some Appalachian folk music.
And what should we listen to? We should be realistic about this. This is called These Hard Times.
A song you should hear concerning those boys who lives about here. It is the truth, boys, you can't disown. You pull a girl about like a dog, well, a bone, and it's these hard times. Girls about here, the wood where the hoops won't for the comfort, it is just for the looks. A belief to my soul, if the boys won't talk, they'd worm so large, they take a sidewalk, and it's these hard times. Girls about here, they'll grin like a cat, they'll tittle in their tattle, and they don't know what it said. It is the truth, boys, you can't disown. You pull the girls about like a dog, well, a bone, and it's these hard times. Tell a good girl, wherever she be, no flashy things on you never will see. No laces, no braces, no such other thing, but a long tail bonnet pinned under her chin, and it's these hard times. Yonder's a doctor I'd almost forgot. Believe to my soul, he's the worst in the lot. He says he'll cure you for half you possess, and then he'll kill you and take all the rest. These hard times.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Island Life, A New World, Old Ways with David Kinley. In this episode, I'm talking to Izzy and her experiences on transatlantic emigration. As I said before, what I really love about culture is language, food, and music. So let's go to the food.
Okay.
You must have some something we would say quite exotic that you've been brought up on. And this is the question from a Manxman to an American. What would you add as a flavour or any condiment to the classic kibbeh?
Oh.
Bring California to the kibbeh.
I'm the wrong person to ask. I'm the wrong person to ask. I hate kippers. Oh my God, no. Right, so the last
chili
time I ever...
Chili it is.
Yes, yeah. But the last time I ever... Actually, you know what? I reckon a kipper with a little bit of chili and lime would be amazing. Some cilantro maybe as well.
You have nailed
it. Yeah, I think so. I think, honestly, you could put anything with Mexican food and it'd be great. Anything.
Wonderful.
But I do not like a kipper. And the last time I ate any sort of type of kipper or even got remotely close to eating a kipper was when I was like 7. So I haven't gone near them since. And to be honest, I am planning a video of trying them again because I do need to retry them as an adult. I see, you know, as my taste buds have changed, but I am not a kipper fan.
Well, thank you very much for that culinary information.
Yeah, no worries.
Another part of the Manx, when they actually went to the United States, is what a lot of people don't really realise, they were bilingual.
Yeah.
They were bilingual. If you went to school, you spoke English, and so, wow, they hit the ground running, really. Mm-hmm. They had a lot going on. Sure. Have you got any other languages with you, or is it just primarily English in California?
I mean, we speak English in California, obviously, but we do have a primarily large Latin population as well. So we do speak a lot of Spanish. So a lot of times jobs will require you to be bilingual in English and Spanish as well. Mm-hmm. So that's why we have a lot of the Mexican culture and influence in California as well, which is amazing. And I absolutely love it.
The background of the Manx emigres as well, they'd changed religion numerous times over the centuries. And of course, the founding fathers and pretty much everyone who arrived from Europe pretty much had a different religion, didn't they? Is it still the case in California, or is it mostly sort of a Catholic? It's just...
I mean, I think we have a very large Christian population and a very large Catholic population, yeah. But it's really just this melting pot of like everything and everyone. And we've got, you know, anywhere from Buddhists to Muslims to Christians, Catholics, Judaism. We have Hinduism. If you are looking to move to somewhere else and immigrate into a different country, I do think that you should look to better your community in any way you can, because ultimately that is where you're going to be and that's your home now. So why wouldn't you want to contribute in some way and try and make it a better place? So I relate with them.
Couldn't agree more. I'm going to have to take a quote from you here. Direct quote from Izzy. Everyone should be like a Fenodri.
I agree. I do think so. Yes. No. That,
and what qualities of the Fenodri?
Being kind and being helpful. So I know that. So David and I had a conversation before our lovely meeting today, and on the phone I had said that I wished everybody was like a Fenodri. And to be fair, what I meant by that is I wish that people would give back to the community and do good things that are good for people without expecting anything in return, and doing things because you want to do things that are good, because ultimately that is what the Fenodri was. And the Fenodri, you know, went in and helped people and did things without being asked, really, and didn't really accept anything other than a griddle cake and didn't want anything other than a griddle cake. So he just went in and did what he needed to do, helped people, and then got out with no expectations.
We shall all take that mantra to our heart, Izzy.
Yes.
I'm going to stick with that one.
Oh,
I really am. So as we've spoken about, emigration isn't all getting on aeroplanes. It's all about leaving things behind and going into a new world with a new with an uncertainty as well. And you need to take your friends. And a lot of emigration is to do with family. And people need to remember that, I think.
100%. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's like, in my case, I feel very lucky because I do have a lot of family on the island and I do have a lot of support. And that was primarily one of the reasons I decided to move here, was to be closer to that family and to, you know, sort of have them be a bigger part of my life again on a more regular basis, not just once a year and summertime. And to be closer to my mom as well, and my mom's, you know, siblings and my aunt and uncles and stuff and my cousins. And I'm just so grateful because I did start from the very beginning here and I did start from scratch again, but I did have that support system here and I had those people that I could rely on in a way and just felt a bit more safe in that sense and felt a bit more already included and already welcomed on the island.
So this program started in the 17th century, basically. Not literally.
Well.
And we've gone through the 17th...
Didn't realize
you were that old. Yeah, there you go. I am getting a bit grey.
Vampire?
So we started this journey in the 17th century, and here we are in the 21st century, and people are still doing this journey. They're going backwards and forwards across the Atlantic, and not only just across the Atlantic, across many, many oceans.
So many. Yeah.
Yeah.
Long distances. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the beautiful thing. The diaspora of culture is beautiful. Mm. So whether it's a Manx emigree to the United States historically or recently, or an American emigree to the island, and the island, and this island has many nationalities and cultures who now live here, and some only temporarily, and then they will return. And just to reiterate, whatever your status, wherever you're from, wherever you've journeyed to, wherever you're going back from, if our common denominator is our own dear Alan Vannon, then so be it.
You know, having been here for 5 years now, I just fall in love with it more and more every day. And I loved it from the minute I stepped foot on here. I loved it from the minute, you know, I was brought over here for the very first time at a month old. I was christened over here in Peel Cathedral. I just have so much love for the island in my heart and the people on the island and the community that I just couldn't imagine living anywhere else.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Izzy, thank you so much for coming to New World, Old Ways, the final episode. And we've made it across the Atlantic, but the other way.
Yes. Yeah. No, thank you so much for having me today. It's such an interesting conversation, and discussing this stuff with you has been so interesting over the last few weeks, and hearing your viewpoints and listening to the other programs as well has just been so educational, but also such a interesting thing to learn as an immigrant.
Yeah. Maybe I should have called the program New World, New Ways, because that's what we've got to do.
New world, yes, yeah.
And evolve.
And evolve, yeah, yeah. You definitely have to evolve and adapt as life goes on. And you can't stay the same because things change around you all the time.
Which is quite obvious because the island isn't the same as it used to be. And those little Manx communities that grew up in America are not the same as they used to be either.
No, they're definitely not.
Izzy, thank you so much.
Thanks so much, David.
Garamayo, Emu.
And I'll see y'all next time.
You've been listening to Ireland Life, A New World, Old Ways. You can listen back to this programme by subscribing to Manx Radio Podcasts using your usual podcast provider. Gadamayad, Emu.